Hey, Drew.
Hello, John.
Is it okay if I do a magic trick for you?
Yeah.
Right now?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, I want you to close your eyes.
Okay. They're closed.
All right. I want you to concentrate hard on me disappearing.
Okay.
All right?
All right. I'm concentrating. Hey, you're gone.
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Ourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
What's the first...
magician?
What's the first magic trick
ever?
What's the first thing you ever made disappear, Drew?
Wow, I've never made anything.
What? What is your earliest recollection of learning about magic?
What kind of magic?
Whatever kind you want.
Stage magic.
Pick a kind, any kind.
Or real, quote unquote, real magic.
Whichever. What was your introduction to the concept of magic? And if you don't remember, make something up.
Well, I mean, it sure was something in a movie.
Okay.
Right? Or
maybe.
Television or a
maybe
book.
Maybe it was.
Some sort of magical thing happening.
Well, it would be something in the world that you would have encountered.
I can't think of the specific very first time. My life has always been permeated by magic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Johnson?
What? This show's about Magic Johnson, the basketball player. It's not my earliest recollection, but honestly, the memory, I don't really have the memory itself so much as just what I've been told. When my family, we went to some magician, stage show, and I can't remember where. Maybe it was in California on a vacation. But this guy's doing magic, and he says, I need a volunteer from the audience. And I raised my hand, and I got picked.
Wow.
Yeah. And I walked up there, and he did this trick where, he's got rope and scissors, and he's like, he'll hold out the rope and be like, okay, cut the rope here. And I'd cut it, and then it wouldn't actually have been cut in two. And he's like, oh, you did that wrong. Here, try again. And I cut it, and it wouldn't have been cut in two. You know what I mean?
Your first memory is all about humiliation.
Yeah, yeah. And so he was, he did his magic trick, and then he said, thanks for your help, and you can go back down there. And
shuffle off.
And he gave me, this little souvenir. It was a container that was like Dr. So-and-so's magic elixir. It was his persona magic elixir. And he sent me off stage, and I still had the scissors, and I walked off stage with the scissors, and he was like, Hey, wait, I need those. And I brought him back up. And as I was walking back after giving him the scissors, he said, that's how I got mine, in reference to the scissors.
Oh yeah. Very funny.
The, bottle of elixir was empty.
Oh,
and it was like invisible elixir or something. So it was just a bottle with a label on it.
Huh.
That was the joke, though, that it was invisible. And I had that for a long time. I might still have it somewhere.
I hope you do.
But that might be my earliest recollection of magic being done.
Were you impressed?
I can't remember. I think I was excited just to be on stage, part of the deal.
Here's a more pressing question. Did you believe?
No. No.
You were a skeptic from the get-go, weren't you?
Well, I think I knew that was a show,
Mm-hmm.
I think I always knew. I can't remember ever being like believing that a stage magician was actually doing magic, you know?
Huh.
What about you?
Every December, my family would go to a VFW hall near our house. It was a Christmas party hosted by this like veterans group that my grandpa belonged to. So
yeah.
The whole family would go, and they always had this magician from the local bank who would perform.
Awesome.
And I remember thinking, you know, like, obviously this guy was a magician at the bank, right?
What does that mean?
So,
you as a child believed that this guy was a paid magician.
I thought
at the bank,
initially,
at the bank, he was doing magic.
Right, he worked at the bank,
yeah,
doing magic. Like he would move money around, you know, magically or something at the bank. I mean, what else would a magician do?
Yeah.
At a bank, right?
Right.
So I remember thinking, wow, that's
bank magician?
I wanted to be a bank magician then, because I thought it's steady work and you get to do magic.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
Sometimes you get to do shows.
Yeah.
The BFW.
On the side. It's nice that they let him, you know, multitask like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was probably my earliest introduction. And he did a similar trick with the rope, cutting the rope.
Mm-hmm.
And he would also do this one where he had like a little door that he would prop up on stage.
I like that already. I like a little door.
It was just a little door, and he would open it up, and it would be like a white rabbit inside.
Yeah.
And he would be like, now he'd close the door, and he'd be like, now I'm going to make the white rabbit disappear.
Yeah.
And he would say some words, and then he'd open it, and it would be like a different colored rabbit. It'd be like a yellow rabbit.
Was it a real living rabbit?
No.
Oh.
It was just a picture, a drawing.
Oh.
Of it. Yeah.
That's not as cool.
Well, but it was great because he would then say, the joke of it was that the kids in the audience would be like, oh, you just flipped it around. You just flipped the door around or something. And he's like, oh, you want to see the back of the door? And we'd all be like, yeah. So he'd flip the thing around, open the back of the door, and like the back of the rabbit. It'd be a drawing of the back of the rabbit on there. And that was the show.
I was hoping it would be a real rabbit.
Oh, no, I don't think he ever.
You could see why he never went beyond
the bank.
Bank magicianing. Bank magic.
Yeah. He wasn't really pulling off the elaborate tricks. Like,
and now I'm going to make your checkbook green. You're just like,
people would come to him with a deposit. Yeah. He'd be like, and now for my next trick.
Oh, you want to see the back? Yeah.
Here's the back of your checkbook. The other.
Do you think that a guy, like, you would go up to him and you'd say, I'd like to make a deposit? Mm-hmm. And he'd say, I'd like to make a withdrawal. And then he'd pull a quarter out of your ear.
You, it's you. It's been you all along. You're the bank magician.
Would he do that?
No, but I bet he could. Mm-hmm. But he has that power. I mean, that seems like within the scope of a bank magician's
outfit?
Power. Yeah, he had a top hat,
yeah.
And he had kind of a suit jacket, you know, with tails and stuff.
Yeah,
I remember distinctly. Actually, I think I must have been up on stage with him, or, you know, quote unquote stage with him at some point. Because I remember he would do this thing at the end of his performance where he had like, what's that stuff? Ticker tape? You know, kind of the
crepe paper?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. Just an endless stream of fabric or paper of some type. And at the end of his performance, he would just like, you know, funnel it out. He would be
sleeves?
Pulling it out of his sleeve. Yeah. And it would just keep coming and it would be like, woo, spectacular. And I remember one time being very like close next to him and seeing up his sleeve. And there was just like a roll of this stuff attached to his sleeve. And I was like, faker,
Did you say
that? Faker. I didn't say it, but I thought it.
The whole illusion was gone for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was...
like, was everything from that... You were like, oh, the whole thing's a sham. This has been a sham.
I don't know how he sets that kid on fire, but I know it's probably some sort of sham.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bank magician.
But I got hooked on magic. I did, yeah, at a very young age. I remember that that was my very first... a career that I aspired to. That's the first one that I can recall.
Okay.
Being like 3 or 4 and wanting to be a magician. And I went to see David Copperfield.
Nice. Who's I saw
like
him.
The mother, I mean, maybe not the mother, but the father. He's like the mega
at the time
performance
especially.
Magician.
He's an illusionist.
Yes.
I mean, he was very specific in that. He did not claim to be a magician.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He was an illusionist.
But I believed he was actually
magic.
Yeah. He made the Statue of Liberty disappear. He walked through the Great Wall of China.
Did you see those? I never actually saw those.
Yeah.
I was a David Copperfield fan as well. Mm-hmm. And the only TV special I saw was his Orient Express one.
Yeah. Which was kind of lame.
Except that
comparatively.
Hang on now a second.
That was the first one he did, I think.
Hang on now a second there, okay. Buddy.
All right, hang in.
Did he not? He did magic with the viewer. Don't you remember?
He did, yeah.
He put cards up on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would put your, he's like, now put your finger on one of these cards. And you'd put your finger on the television. My sister and I would do this. And he go, okay, now you can't take your finger off of that card. You've got to leave it there. And he'd sort of look at the screen. Yeah, you've got your finger on the card.
Absorbing cathode rays.
And he's like, and focus on the card, you know. And he would say, okay,
as opposed to your finger.
I don't think you're touching this card. And he'd remove a card off of the screen. And you'd be like, whoa. You'd freak out because you're like, is he going to take my card? And he wouldn't, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd say, and it's probably not this card, and I don't think it's this one. And so he wouldn't pick any of the ones you had your finger on, right?
Uh-huh.
So then he would say, okay, keep your finger on the card, but I'm going to rearrange these a bit just so that, I forget why his reasoning for rearranging, but he'd move all the other cards that your finger wasn't on into a different configuration. And then I think he'd say, okay, you know, maybe you want to choose a different card now, and if you want to, you can. And you know, he'd go through this whole shtick, and eventually he finished, and he picked the card that you had your finger on.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's some kind of mathematical like way
like the probability.
The way he does this, you know,
right?
Or some kind of like you know. Neuro-linguistic deal going where he's like sort of urging you to choose a certain card without you knowing it.
Oh, yeah. The power of magic suggestion.
Yeah. So that's the one I remember. And then there's the other one I saw was the one where he flies.
I didn't see that one.
What?
I don't think I saw that one.
What?
Yeah.
That's his big, big one. That's the big deal. Who cares if he made the Statue of Liberty disappear? Who cares if he walked through the Great Wall of China? He flew. Huh.
I remember. I liked his little tricks, the stuff on on those shows. Like there was one where I think for the Great Wall of China one, there was a scene where he's wandering around the streets and somebody's this old man's riding a bicycle and the bicycle gets run over by a truck and so it's all mangled and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he comes over and he's like blah 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 and he fixes the old man's bicycle. And
he's just a bicycle repairman. That's not magic. The problem with those specials, specifically like the whole, the major, you know, illusion that he did.
The big signature trick, yeah.
And well, maybe this isn't the problem, because he's an illusionist, and he says it's an illusion. Right. You know, he's not saying that he's actually doing any of these things. Mm-hmm. But the problem, I think, when it's on television, it's even less impressive.
Oh.
Don't you think?
Yeah, maybe. But I've also seen him live.
Yeah, so have I.
And I was blown away.
Did he do the thing where he brought a lady up on stage? He liked to bring ladies up on stage.
Which I feel like that's a time-honored magician thing, ladies.
He brought a lady up on the stage. Mm-hmm. And he took a tissue, and he sort of balled it up, and he put it in her hand, and like there's music starts playing, right?
Right.
And he's like waggling his finger above the tissue, like she's got her hand out, the balled up tissue's in it, in the palm of her hand, and he'd sort of hold his hand above it and waggle his finger at it. Mm-hmm. And as his finger moved back and forth, the tissue would start to move back and forth, you know, shaking. Uh-huh. Or he may have even started on his hand and then put it on hers and then done, you know, kept it going. Mm-hmm. And then at one, like, eventually the tissue rises up out of her hand and he's, like, manipulating it without touching it and stuff. And then he would turn the tissue into a rose, right?
He'd,
like, fold it up and, you know, twist it and stuff and make it look like a rose. And then he'd make that dance on her hand. And then he'd take it and he'd, like, do some kind of flourish and it would, like, it would burst into flame, the tissue, like a sudden gout of flame. No, he's holding it. But a sudden gout of flame would you know, envelop the tissue. And then when the flame went away, it's a real rose.
Oh.
And he would give it to her.
What
like, I'm in love.
What a nice dude.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Man, suave. I remember being completely enamored with his
dancing.
Ability. No.
He dances.
I don't remember the dancing.
Come on.
I don't remember the dancing.
He's always dancing during his magic.
I don't remember that.
His illusions involve a lot of dancing.
Well, I mean, like, I remember him, like, moving around.
Yeah, he moves.
Sort of interpretive dancing, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Maybe not so much, like, moonwalking, so to speak.
No.
Like, he wasn't, like, breakdancing. No. That'd be awesome.
It would be. Like, the breakdancing magician.
I'm gonna walk through the Great Wall of China.
I'm gonna breakdance.
But first,
I will breakdance through the Great Wall of China.
He walks like an Egyptian through the Great Wall of China.
Describe to me how that. What's it? What is? What do you see in that? That illusion. What happens when he walks through it? Like, how do they stage it? What's going on?
Well, I think what they did was they put up a screen.
No, I don't want to know how the trick was done.
You just want to know what you saw.
Describe to me how it was displayed to you.
So there's
the viewer.
The camera is set up parallel to one side of the wall. So you're right next. It's like you're right next to the wall.
It's like you're standing. Your shoulders against the wall.
Right.
And you're looking down the Great Wall.
Right.
Okay.
And they put up a screen that's perpendicular. Okay.
Already,
and it's lit from behind.
Ridiculously skeptical. Yeah, that's dumb. But
wait, though. Wait.
All right.
Okay.
It's lit from behind, so we can see
behind.
Shadow.
So you see his silhouette.
Yeah.
And he walks up to the wall, and he starts. He like touches it,
he's
kind of tentatively.
For the right, spot, right?
Yeah. Exactly. He's
the
moving
most magical spot.
Moving his hands around,
yeah.
And then suddenly he leans into it, and he's leaning, and he's not getting anywhere.
Oh,
but then
no.
All of a sudden he does. And
yeah.
He starts leaning further into the wall, and then all of a sudden he's gone. And then they drop the
and he's gone.
They drop the screen, and he's no longer there. And then they
on
have
the
another
side,
screen on
camera.
The other side.
Yeah,
this is the best part because this screen is flush against the side of the wall.
Oh, all right.
So it's just, you know, brick,
yeah.
And then this screen, right? And then you the narrator or whatever says something like, "Will David Copperfield reappear on the other side?
Yeah.
He is not. He cannot be seen at this moment."
What if?
And then you start to see
you
him.
You didn't see that. What if all you heard was Oh no!
Well, I'm in here.
I'm stuck in the wall. My magic has failed me.
Put the candle back.
Stuck in the wall. Oh, man. Cut.
Commercial, good God, go to commercial.
My face is enveloped in brick. The wall's magic is stronger than my magic.
It'd be awesome. It'd be pretty awesome. He pushes through that screen.
Yeah.
So he comes out. I remember thinking it was very much like that scene in A Nightmare on Elm Street where Freddy comes through the bedroom wall.
Yeah.
Which is probably the reason why I liked it so much. It was like, he turned into Freddy Krueger. Awesome. Like, forget the fact that he walked through a wall.
Mom, look at this.
Where's his glove? Where's his glove? Why does he just cut through that sheet? Yeah, it was awesome. But the thing that blew me away about him was at his live performance, you know, he would do all those illusions, and I would think to myself, okay, there are ways that can probably be faked, you know, just by the you know, the way that it's set up. But then he would do this thing where the lights would go out, and he would instantly be on the other side of the theater. You know, he'd be on stage.
I mean, I can tell you how he did that, but it's really easy.
What?
Do you want to know how he did it?
How did he do it?
It's just another dude that looks like him.
Oh.
You can't tell it's him up there.
Nice. Nice one, David Copperfield.
So, like, it'd be him up there.
Nice.
With sunglasses on.
Uh-huh.
And his ridiculous hair. He's got, like, a leather jacket, right? You're like, what's he going to do? Lights go out, lights come up, and everyone's like, where is he? And everyone turns around, and behind you, he's sitting on a motorcycle.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's actually him.
And then he'd ride the motorcycle down the aisle, run over a small child, and then he'd have to bring the child back to life. And
then the real magic happens. Here's the thing. Like, he, you know, on his specials, they'd always be like, David Copperfield, the man who made the Statue of Liberty disappear and walked through the Great Wall of China. He didn't do any of that stuff. He didn't actually do any of it. He did illusions that made it seem like he did them, but he didn't do any of that stuff.
So you always were, you wanted to be, there to be like an asterisk behind
there should be.
Those statements. Yeah. Parenthetical, like, the man who made the Statue of Liberty disappear, meaning that.
exactly. Just cop to it.
Mm-hmm.
Copperfield.
Cop out.
Yeah, David Copperfield, more like David Cop Out. Cop Out Field.
All right, so you don't put much stock in the
no
magicianship of magicians.
No, that is not true.
No,
I think it's awesome. I loved magic.
Right, but you believe that it is all a fabrication. I don't believe that there's any manipulation of physical space. Or...
No, there absolutely isn't real magic happening up there.
All right,
I had a little magic set, you know, like. You'd buy a box of magic tricks at the store, and I had one of those because I was so into magic for a while. And I think for the similar reasons. I mean, I really loved David Copperfield.
You wanted to say cop out, didn't you?
No. He needs to do a new special. Yeah, he needs to come back. Doing. The problem, you know what the problem is? Like, now... people would just be like, ooh, you're just using special effects.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? It would be hard for him to impress people now.
That's why he's got to do it live.
Yeah. What could he do? What could the modern day, like, David Copperfield illusion be?
What if he, like, made
be?
The Earth disappear?
That would be awesome. He could launch himself into space.
Right.
And be, like, in a spacesuit. And then
he's dancing in the, unlike the International Space Station.
Got a woman with him too. She's dancing, and then he's like also
it's like Moonraker.
He's also got you know, like
several thousand people up there to form a ring around the Earth. Because the whole idea behind that is that there's people there to validate that there's no camera trickery, you know?
Right, yeah.
He's like, these people are here, and they're all going to see it. Yeah, yeah. They'll verify it if you meet one in the street, you know? So he'd have to get enough people to form a ring around the Earth. And then he'd put a giant sheet all over holding it. Hands.
Maybe he could get that net that Superman used to collect all the nuclear weapons in Superman 4. Yeah. He could just drape that over the planet.
And he'd do his dance. He'd do his space dance. he'd pull the sheet away, and there you go. Earth's gone.
And then the narrator have to be like, yeah. Now what you can't see because you've disappeared is that the Earth is.
Oh man. So he could disappear the Earth. What else could he do? Is there something he could walk through? I mean, he could walk through the Earth.
Yeah, he could walk to China.
Basically,
the Earth.
He has to do something on an astronomical scale now.
Yeah. Oh, what if he actually what if he used the internet?
Oh, and yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You know, he
that
like...
That would be good.
He
walked through the internet.
He walked into the internet.
What if he walked from website to website?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That... Quick, call David Copperfield now!
He'd open up Google, right? He'd get like a massive plasma screen, all right? The size of a wall. And he'd open up Google on it. And then he'd wheel a screen in front of it. Right? Perpendicular to the monitor. Right. You'd see behind there him pressing on Google. Trying to find the right magical spot.
Right.
Eventually he'd lean into Google. And here's the great part. He'd you know, go inside of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They'd pull that screen away, and on the Google search field it would say David Copperfield.
Oh, neat.
Huh?
But then what if they were like, now everyone at home, go to google.com. <It's> and you go to google.com and it's and there he is on your computer.
He's there. And he's waving.
He's dancing. He's dancing on
you. He's dancing with a woman. Where would he go from there? Like,
oh, man.
How would he get out?
Wherever.
I mean,
what if
he
that would
get
be
lost.
An incredible? That would be an incredible promo for Google, though, because
it
could be like whatever you type in.
Yeah, that's
you can
where
like
David
send
will,
David
will
Copperfield
yeah.
to that place.
Yeah. Copperfield level. There's a Penn and Teller, you know, they do magic.
That's right, they used to do magic. I mean,
and
they still do magic.
Yeah,
they got their start doing magic.
And
stage magic.
Their shtick kind of became not just magic, but also kind of explaining magic tricks, but mm-hmm. still doing the magic. Like, even though they were explaining what was happening, you would still be impressed or amazed by
right.
what was happening.
Well, and they were charismatic. They had witty rapport.
And the one, you know, Teller didn't talk, and
yeah.
Penn did. They had a show, like a little documentary not too long ago, I think, where they
they traveled to, I want to say, Asia or maybe China or something. And they basically, they did this travel documentary that was centered around magic and magic in different cultures. And it was really good. It was
a cool idea.
And they weren't in character. You know what I mean? Like it was just them kind of exploring different cultures, magic. Let's see if we can find it. But it was good.
Nice.
It was very good.
Nice.
There's a guy named Lance Burton.
Yeah.
Is that
he's
his
like
name?
A Vegas guy. Las Vegas.
Is that his
kinda
name?
Dude. Chris Angel.
Chris Angel.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Isn't he a magician? I've never seen
him.
Yeah,
he had that show Mind Freak.
Yeah.
The promo for that show was hilarious because he would do this like at the very end of the promo, he'd be rushing at the camera and go, "Mind Freak." It's like, how does anyone take this guy seriously?
Magic. Mind Freak.
Well, then there's the king of street magic, David Blaine.
Oh, yeah.
Who is best friends with Leonardo DiCaprio. Did you know that?
Is that all an elaborate trick?
No. It's not even a...
You will befriend me, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Maybe it is, yeah. Who knows? But no, and I can remember in his... I think it was like his first special... And all the tricks were broken up.
Turning people into Leonardo DiCaprio.
Different Leonardo DiCaprio characters. It got borderline offensive when he'd turn him into the kid from Gilbert Grape. Be like, all right, David, you kind of knocked that off, man. We can't put that on television. No, and the magic tricks would be interspersed with Leonardo DiCaprio interviewing David Blaine, and he would be like, Leonardo DiCaprio would be like, you know, do people just freak out when you do magic on the street? And David Blaine's like, yeah, sometimes they do. And because he's emotionless. And then it would cut to him doing street magic, and he would always
and people
like,
freaking out.
Yeah. That was his shtick, was to be completely deadpan and emotionless, right? Mm-hmm. And do magic for the common folk on the street. And the common folk on the street would freak out and flip out and be like running and screaming and yelling and around him, you know, doing ridiculous things because he did some kind of magic trick.
Huh.
And then he eventually stopped doing magic and started doing just these stunts where he'd be like, I'm going to sit in a block of ice for a week. Or, you know, I'm going to hang upside down for a day.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
He started doing that.
Which is kind of dumb.
Yeah, that's...
Not impressive.
Well, and I guess he's maybe trying to go for more of a Houdini thing.
Yeah.
In that
respect.
I guess
we should talk about Houdini.
I don't know a lot about Houdini. All I know is that he was an escape artist, right?
He was, yeah. He would do those things where he would chain himself inside of a tank of water and eventually...
With a straight jacket on.
Right, yeah. And he would get out, or he would be on a platform with a sword above him, and he would have to get free before the sword dropped.
Yeah,
he did all those elaborate.
Did he die during a thing? During one of his
stunts? Feel like I don't think he did.
Okay,
but I remember thinking that he might have because there was some show. Oh, I think this might have been a David Copperfield thing. Where he was buried alive.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And he climbed out of he crawled out of the grave or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like the trick, they advertised it as like, this is the trick that even Houdini wouldn't do.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like he was afraid to do or, you know.
I remember that.
But I do remember a TV special where a bunch of magicians, and Copperfield might have been involved, tried to hold a seance to communicate with Houdini, because supposedly Houdini said he and his wife had this pact and they were like, okay, whichever one of us dies first, we're going to come back and try to contact the other person. Mm-hmm. And he ended up dying before his wife did.
Yeah.
So every year on the anniversary of his death, which just happened to be like October 30th or something like that. Of course. She would hold a seance with like these, like this close group of his friends or whatever. And I think it was like maybe the 50th anniversary of his death or something, like some anniversary. They did a TV special where they tried to bring him back. And there was like, for some reason, you know, she'd been doing this her entire life, but for some reason, this was going to be the occasion.
Well, they're magicians.
Right. Yeah.
If anyone can do it.
Yeah. They can pull
Maybe he didn't like his wife.
Oh.
But he liked those magicians. What happened in the special?
Then nothing happened.
I mean, what did they pad it with? Because obviously he's not going to
like,
show up.
Well, they would do tricks, Houdini-ish tricks, or talk about his history or something. I think Harry Anderson might have narrated it.
Oh,
he might have been the host.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. One of the best magicians ever.
He's pretty incredible.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
I should see if I can find that special. It's pretty great.
Well, and that reminds me of a couple things when you mentioned him and also like this ring of, you know, magicians. There's that house in California, I think.
The Magic Castle. Yeah.
That only magicians... Is it only magicians are allowed in, or you have to
be invited?
Yeah.
It's performances by invitation only.
Yeah. And there's magical performances.
Yeah.
My friend went there recently, and he got me a mug.
Nice.
Yeah. But Neil Patrick Harris is a reputed magician.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. And he's been in the Magic Castle, and he does magic.
Huh.
Yeah. And then there's, of course, from Arrested Development, Job. Did you ever see Arrested Development?
I sort of watched the first season, but I
never did. In Arrested Development, Will Arnett plays Job, who's one of the brothers in the family, mm-hmm. and he's an illusionist. And his character is hilarious because he... Almost always when he does his illusions, it's to the song The Final Countdown.
Which is, it's a good illusionist song.
But he is excommunicated from like the magician's union or whatever because he tells how to do a trick or something like that.
Oh, there was that one guy.
There's that secret.
That masked guy who, like, revealed all the tricks. Yeah, he broke the code.
Yeah. And didn't he unmask himself at some point?
Yeah, eventually.
And everyone's like, who are you?
Yeah, we're like, oh, you're not a magician.
Yeah, you're not David Copperfield. That's who everyone was hoping it would be.
Oh, man. Right? Wow, that would have been a hell of a reveal.
What if David Copperfield was the masked magician, right? Mm-hmm. And he revealed all these tricks and then he removed his mask and it was David Copperfield like, what are you doing? You're revealing all the tricks. And he's like, actually, the real trick is that none of those are the tricks. And I haven't actually shown you how to do anything.
Poof.
Yeah.
And then he disappears.
Yeah.
Forever. He's also a ninja. So what's the major distinction between a wizard and like an illusionist?
Wizard does real magic.
Okay.
Like real magic. They
real.
Bend space and time.
Oh.
They bend nature to their will. They do things that no regular mortal could do.
Like?
You know, like make a fireball.
Whoa. Well, I think a real...
out of thin air.
Yeah, well...
Or
if
they
there
could
were,
teleport.
If there were gasoline in the air.
They could teleport from like here to there. Like that.
Wow. David Copperfield did that.
I'm going to name... He's not... No, he didn't really do it. Why are you... This is the...
I'm just sticking up for my pal, all right?
He didn't... He's an illusionist, and he claims that. He doesn't claim to be a wizard. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say a wizard's name, and then you're going to say a wizard's name, and we're going to see how many wizards deep we can get. All right?
Wizards deep.
Okay.
All right.
So I'll start. Do you okay. wanna, are you ready?
I guess. I don't think this is going to go well.
I'm going to start with an easy one. Gandalf. Okay.
All right. Orko.
That's good. Was he a wizard?
I think so.
I mean, he looked like
one.
He
did magic. Yeah.
Harry Potter.
That kid from the Care Bears movie. All of my wizards are cartoons.
That's all right, I guess. Merlin.
But he wasn't. Was he a real person? No, we're not talking about real people. We're talking about.
We're talking about wizards.
I like how I just got hung up on real people after I just offered you Orko. Another wizard.
Come on.
I can't think of another
wizard. Really?
I can't.
Dumbledore.
Well, we already said Harry Potter. I thought we were discounting the Harry Potter series after that point.
Oh, okay. Fine. Mr. Wizard.
Wait a minute.
Tim from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. He was actually a sorcerer, I think. What about Fred Savage's little brother and the wizard?
He's not a...
Wasn't he the wizard?
Wizard?
But no, he was the wizard.
Yeah, he was the wizard.
What about the Wizard of Oz?
Oh, good one.
He was a fake wizard.
Sort of.
Spoiler. There's Radagast. He was from Lord of the Rings. There's Saruman, the wizard.
That was Christopher Lee in the movie.
That
wasn't
was,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Christopher Lee's a badass.
Yeah, he is.
Wizard or no wizard?
There's Mad Madam Mim. I guess she's a witch.
Who?
It was from the Sword in the Stone.
Oh, okay.
And Merlin had a wizard's duel with Mad Madam Mim. It's a really great scene in that movie, in the Disney film, where they basically, the rules are that they'll turn each and turn into an animal and fight, and you can turn into different animals throughout the fight. But nothing, they said nothing, no myth animals, like no dragons or unicorns or stuff, only real animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically they would, one would turn into like a rhino, and the other would turn into like an elephant, and they fight. And then
see, I don't like those. That seems a little too rigid, you know. I have a problem with that, with the parameters of that.
It's just the rules contest. They set for that contest.
I know, but I find that kind of weak. I mean, like if you were having a wizard off, wouldn't you want to be like?
Did you even see it?
No.
So then you don't know.
All right.
Because it wasn't weak.
All right.
It was pretty rad. I mean, they're having a wizard off, but look, they marshal cosmic powers. They can't go flinging them around. That's dangerous, and it's irresponsible.
Nobody ever said wizards were good people.
They not necessarily know, but mm-hmm. they can be.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever said they're bad people either.
Right. They're neutral.
No. They could be, but they're like people, you know? I mean, they have opinions and they have leanings of, you know, I want to be good or I want to be bad.
Uh-huh.
Just like us. And except we can't do real magic in the way that they can.
Mm-hmm. Or, well, I don't know. Would you call alchemy like magic? Would you call that?
No one can do alchemy.
But people claim that they can.
But no one has proved that they could.
Well, right. But I'm asking
yeah,
you,
I mean,
if you would define
well,
that as...
Well, it was a science. was right. considered to be a science. That it's based on scientific principles, or was
yeah.
before there were really scientific principles.
Right.
But there was a. It was not based in magic that they thought they could turn lead to gold. They felt scientifically that this was possible.
Yeah.
Right. That they were similar enough chemically, I think, mm-hmm. that you should be able to turn one into the other. Is that that's what I think mm-hmm. the idea was. And it, you know, just after years of scientific research and maturation of science, people realize, well, you can't do that. I feel like we've deviated from a discussion about wizards.
We have.
That is an important conversation to have.
All right, let's go back to wizards.
Should I look up wizard? I'm gonna. Well, I was just thinking to myself, what's the difference between a wizard and a sorcerer? I know what the difference is as far as Dungeons and Dragons is concerned, but I don't know that I know. Let's see, wizard is someone who is dazzlingly skilled in any field. Okay, well, yeah, that's one definition.
Right.
Like, he's a wizard.
Yeah.
But here's the one we want. One who practices magic or sorcery. So sorcery is actually in the definition of wizard. Let's see what sorcerer is one who practices magic or sorcery. So as far as the dictionary is concerned,
they're interchangeable.
But in Dungeons and Dragons, there is a difference, and that difference, and I'm sure when I say this, that there will be a lot of people who are like, oh. You're wrong, actually.
Yeah, they got their 20-sided die just
they've
waiting.
Got their player handbook out, yeah. And they're ready. In D&D, a wizard is evokes magic through spells from a book. They gather ingredients and sort of their spells require incantations and recipes and okay. sort of, you know, like I need a stick and I need the fur of a ferret and I need this thing to make this magic happen.
Right.
Right. Whereas a sorcerer can simply summon magic at will. They don't need okay. spells. They simply can do magic.
They just invoke it yeah. and it's done.
Yes, exactly.
Boom.
So that is how D&D separates those two things.
Okay.
Now, that definition of wizard does not apply in a lot of instances. For instance, the Harry Potter universe, mm-hmm. they don't need a bunch of... They just need their wand to do magical spells.
Yeah.
And they say a word usually, right?
Which is probably for the best because that would have been a really clunky...
A long...
a lot of...
They do make potions, though, with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And then there's Merlin. He just would do stuff. He didn't really have to put a bunch of stuff together. Neither did Gandalf. He would just do stuff, too.
So they sort of skirted the boundary between...
Well, they needed a... With Dungeons and Dragons, I mean, they needed some kind of difference. You know, they needed for you to sort of... The idea is you're making a concession somewhere, right? Huh. So you want to be a wizard, but the trade-off there is you have to put these things together.
You got to carry this big trunk with you
yeah.
for all your stuff.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
I'm not sure what the trade-off is for the sorcerer. Maybe his spells are less powerful or something, but...
Unpredictable?
Perhaps. I can't remember.
It's sort of like, you know, you just throw stuff in a pot and...
Well, he's not even throwing stuff in a pot.
Right.
I mean, he's just doing stuff. Sorcerer.
Yeah.
Or she. Sorceress.
What was the kid on the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon? Was he a wizard or was he a sorcerer?
I think he was a wizard. I don't think he did what you're supposed to do as a wizard.
He didn't adhere
but
to the
I
rules
also
of
don't
Dungeons
know
and Dragons.
That in the original version of Dungeons and Dragons, if that was the case.
Oh. Oh, yeah. We're talking like second...
Did that show come out with Advanced Dungeons and Dragons?
No, it preceded that, I think.
Okay, so it was first edition.
Yeah.
And the rules, I think, were a lot simpler back then. Maybe not.
Everything was.
it reminded me, this discussion reminded me of Harry Dresden, who is also a wizard. I've talked about it before when we talked about vampires in the monsters episode. Harry Dresden is part of a fictional series of books about a wizard slash private detective in Chicago, modern day. And the conceit is that there are vampires and werewolves and wizards and what have you amongst the normal people in the world. And we just don't see them. We don't register them as such. And his magic is all, it's really interesting the way that they approach magic in that book, because magic is kind of almost based in science in a way where he'll talk about one, you know, like his sort of go-to element as a wizard is fire. He can summon fire pretty readily.
Seems like a pretty useful one to summon.
But what he often says is you can't, you aren't just creating fire. There is no, the law of energy applies.
Okay.
Basically what he says, you can't create energy. It
has to be fueled from somewhere.
Yeah. Something. So he pulls, you know, heat out of the air and condenses it into fire, what have you, right? So there has to be a way for him to create the fire in a practical sense, you know?
Sure.
It's not coming out of nowhere. So it's a really, so all the spells and magic are in that series are like that, where it's got this interesting kind of underlay of science applied to it, where he has to think carefully about kind of what he's doing. So I think
he's like a magic MacGyver.
No, he is. He is very. That's a really good way to put it. And he, I think there's one scene in one of the books where he's fighting some vampires or something on a boat, and he summons a huge thing of flame, and the lake around him freezes because he's pulled all the heat out of the water.
Nice.
Yeah. But that's a good Dresden Files is the name of the series. It was a show for a few seconds. The books continue on though. The books are very good. But that's sort of your modern day wizard.
I feel like, man, this topic is daunting. Like,
it is.
I don't even know really where to go on it.
Well, what do you mean?
Like, I sit here and I think, like, okay, magic. I know what magic is.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to articulate because I feel like there are so many disparate sides, you know, to it, what to the topic. So many different iterations of magic in like fiction.
Yeah.
You know, I like it's such a it's a very malleable concept, and it has been interpreted in so many different ways that it's really hard to get a handle on, you know, a comprehensive take on it.
Well, I mean, it's not real, so anyone can do what they want with it.
Right, you can interpret it however you like.
Yeah. There's lots of facets. There's potion making, right? Potions can be magic.
Potions sound cool.
Magic potions.
See, that, I think that that potion side appeals to the kid who wants to have a chemistry set and tinker with stuff. Likes to make stuff bubble.
You might make a potion that would, like a love potion. You make someone fall in love with you.
Yeah.
Or you might make a potion that would make you disappear, go invisible.
Yeah.
Right?
Or turn into a frog.
Whoa, yeah, yeah. A lot of animals in magic, right?
It's almost like we're not impressed unless somebody's turning into an animal.
Yeah, or disappearing an animal.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to see
animals. Can you use disappearing as a verb?
Yes, you
like
can.
Like that, really?
I just did.
Oh, okay.
Try it one day.
All right.
Yeah. I'm a magician with words. I'm a word magician.
Word-gician.
I can turn nouns and verbs into adjectives. And we're the reverse. Oh, magic. I don't know. Is there more to magic?
Probably. There's a man, lot I feel more. Like we're gonna have to come back to this one and the addendum on this. Yeah, because yeah.
Something. I'm sure we haven't addressed nearly as there's like much probably as there, we could.
Yeah.
But maybe we've addressed enough for now.
For now.
Wow.
How should we magically put this into the archive?
Open this box. I pulled out this trunk. Uh-huh. Open it.
Okay.
And we'll go ahead and put the archive in there real quick.
Okay.
Put this out. Okay, close it.
Okay.
And now I'm going to saw it in half.
What?